I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Yeah. Toot toot, everybody's late today.
Not everybody, just Jake.
Yeah.
Should we gang up on Jake?
Well, I'm telling you, my ass is whistling Dixie right now because I'm... Yeah.
Does that mean you're mad?
Well, just a little bit. And I'd like to get rid of it. So let's
Does
chat.
That, when you say that my ass is whistling Dixie, that's a
that
phrase
means I'm,
for...
That means I'm clenching it so tight.
Because you're mad.
There's a teeny whistles coming through. It sounds like this.
Jake, you're in serious trouble.
He's in
Jake,
deep.
Tell our listeners why you're late today.
Yeah.
My little boozy friend.
Yeah.
My best friend's in from Poland, and he kept me up until 4, not because of alcohol, because he wanted to go to the casino for his first time. So we went all the way down to Commerce in Los Angeles.
Oh, for gambling?
Yes.
Oh.
So we're degenerates. We're not alcoholics.
Thank you for clarifying.
All right.
Janice, do you feel better or worse?
Then, all right, I'll take you off the list. Okay, let's start the show.
Well, actually, this is something kind of off topic for us that I wanted to talk about, but it's big news. Did you hear about this whole Proposition 8 thing?
Well, I know it's all gone haywire.
Well, all right, so for those of you who don't live in California and those of you who
That's right. It's California and the rest of the United States.
Yeah, exactly. That's as it should be, because I live in California.
Oh, my God.
But by the way, there are those of us in California who may not be aware, who may have been living under a... What's that called? Living under a what? A log?
Rock, I
a
believe.
A rock.
A rock.
Thank you. Living under a rock. There we go.
Sweet Lord.
Living in a handcart to hell, Janice? Is that what you wanted to say? Anyway, so turns out, I guess, several years ago, gays got the right to marry. And a group of people were like, no, we don't agree with this. You shouldn't have the right to marry. They took it to this judge in California, and he said this is discrimination. Proposition 8 is discrimination. It has no place in the California Constitution. And he threw it out. Then that same group of people who discriminated against gays said, no, we're going to the next level with this. And then they took it to the California Supreme Court. I gather there are 3 justices. These guys turned around after a very long, long time. And here is what they said. They ruled that it was unconstitutional. And they basically said that it only served to demean and dehumanize gays and lesbians. And they threw it out, said it was unconstitutional. And it got me thinking. I started thinking about this because at the same time, I am in the process of adopting a black child. And I've been educating myself a lot about the history of Haiti and going back and watching all these documentaries about the civil rights movement. Because I want to be able to speak in an educated fashion. I want to be able to talk to my daughter about her country and all of these things. And, you know, Haiti was a French colony, and they brought over slaves. And, you know, that whole, well, people know that general story. So in watching, I was watching all these old documentaries on the civil rights movement, and you see these kids in Little Rock, Arkansas, right? They were called the Little Rock Nine. Nine black kids that were allowed to...
I just saw that documentary.
Did you see? Mm-hmm. Me too, on PBS, mm-hmm. right? And so you yeah. see these nine kids. I can't remember the name of the woman who... Daisy. It was Daisy something. Yeah. This incredible woman who worked for the WNC... I look like a moron. The WNACP. Thank you. This legal group that protected these kids' civil rights, and they had passed laws that blacks and whites should integrate and go to the same school. And all hell broke loose. All hell broke loose. So you see, there's this footage of these nine kids, and they're just trying to get into their school, right? And there's mobs of angry white people behind them screaming racial slurs, and they've got pictures of, or dummies, black dummies that they're beating on, and they're like hanging these black dummies in effigy. And I watched this and I just thought, my God, where does this come from, this hatred, right? And then I'm watching, you turn on the news, and there's this kid, Brandon White, you guys may have seen this, who just had the living crap beat out of him in Atlanta because he's gay. And you hear about the gay teenager that was murdered in high school. And the list goes on and on and on. And now you have a very similar type of thing going on with the gay and lesbian community. And you see the people on the street saying, "All fags go to hell." And you've seen this, right, Jan? Mm-hmm. You've seen it. I mean, they're gay bashing them. They're killing gays. They're not allowing them to have equal rights. And it's very similar. I see many similarities to what blacks went through. I don't think that women went through to get our civil rights. I don't believe we went through as much. I don't believe we were beaten. But when you look in other countries all over the world, women are getting stoned. All kinds of crazy things are happening. And I just wanted to sort of explore, because this is scary stuff to me. I find it really disturbing. I mean, what do you think when you see it?
It's fear. Discrimination is fear.
Right? I wanted to talk a little bit about why this exists in our culture. And here's the scary thing, because as pious as you think you might be, the truth of the matter is we all have a little bit of this in all of us for something or other. You know, there's a little bit of prejudice in all of us. And the key here is to come in touch with it, to become aware of it, and to expose it for what it is and try to work it through. So I went to this website called beyondprejudice.com. It's very cool. And I thought, there's these tests so you can test and see if you're prejudiced. And of course, you know, you can be prejudiced against a gender. You can be prejudiced against a religion. You can be prejudiced against an ethnic group.
You could be prejudiced against older women, too.
That's right, old hen. Ageism. Exactly. I am prejudiced against you.
Every time.
And my test revealed it. But yeah. I'm going to try to stop bashing you today now.
I hope so, because when I've Twittered, I've seen some comments, people saying, you know, leave the old animal alone.
Well, I will not do it because I kowtow to
that. Yeah, it's a little bit. So you have a little. And you know what I think it is? Because you fear becoming me. You fear that you are going to get a little bit older.
That's
and
scary.
Your ass is going to get a little lower.
Whoa.
And your hair is going to get a little
fighting
gray.
Words, Janice.
I'm just saying, I think you project, and maybe that's what people do. You project your own fear onto somebody else.
Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about why does this exist within each one of us? And how can we eradicate it within ourselves? Because the truth of the matter is, we're all, when you look at this, it's so insane, right? We're all human. We're all in this together. We're all on this planet together. And when we hate on each other, or when we discriminate against one another, or we seek to devalue another human being for whatever reason, it's not good for our soul. It's not good for our humanity in general and on a personal level. So when you say fear, you think that it's people become afraid because it's different. Because it's inevitable.
Because there's ignorance, you know. Don't hate the person. Hate what the person does. I think ultimately people are doing I know it's hard to believe when people are getting beaten. I think people are really doing the best they can with the knowledge they have.
Janice.
With the knowledge they have. Ignorance is...
Well, so I went on this, so I did a little research, okay? And they suggest that there's two different kinds of prejudice. One is the kind that is passive in that you grow up and you're taught to believe that a certain group of people is less than. Mm-hmm. So, you know, did you see The Help? This is a cheesy example, but did you see The Help? These young kids were brought up and the blacks were inferior and they were meant to use the bathroom outside and this is just the way they were raised. And they passively accepted this as truth. They thought that this attitude became fact, became truth, and they never questioned it.
Ignorance.
They never questioned it. Then there's another group that learns prejudice as they get older. So, for example, let's say a woman gets raped by a Mexican man and now develops a prejudice against all Mexicans. Mm-hmm. There's that learned prejudice, which is, they say, far more dangerous and far harder to turn around, but that those groups of people the people that learn their prejudices are very hard to turn around and change, but they look to people in power. And if people in power say that, no, Mexican men are not dangerous or violent or rapists, we don't hate the group of people, we hate the act or the crime, like what you were saying, that there's a chance there. But with those of us who were brought up not fully aware, who were just raised in an environment where this group was wrong or that group was wrong. Because I know a lot of people who think that gays are going to hell, not because they care about gays, it's just what the Bible says so. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of amazing because when you look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, as familiar as I am with them, which is not very, but it seems like this was...
Yeah, I can hardly wait to hear your theory on Christ the Lord.
No, I'm just saying, stop it.
Oh, my God.
Stop. I'm just saying, it seems as though this was a guy that was like, hey, don't throw the first stone. This seemed like a guy that loved everybody. This was a guy that didn't judge people, right? This Jesus guy seems like a good dude.
Yes, he was a good dude.
Well, tell me, what do you think?
Well, no, yes, he was a fine man.
Why do you say that? Like?
No, I'm intrigued by you talking religion. It just makes
I'm not talking religion. Okay. I'm saying that it seems that people are using religion to hate on a group
of
people.
Certainly,
but what I know of that religion is that it seems like the teachings in that religion are one of acceptance. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. What religion are you?
I'm not. I do believe in God, but I don't presume to have any sort of... I don't presume to know the answers. I don't know. I guess I'm agnostic. Like, I respect all religions.
Yeah.
I believe there's
more... It's
okay
to have a spiritual...
But I don't think I know the answers. Like, but when I hear about this Jesus guy, he seems like a good dude.
Okay.
I like him. I think he's a good dude. He was a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of that other stuff about him, but it seems like he was a really good guy. And for that, I don't think that he would be beating gays or blacks or women in the street. I don't see it.
I don't think so.
So I guess what I want to say to you guys is really take a look inside, take an honest look inside and think about what you're afraid of, what you're scared of in a group of people, what you find yourself hating or judging, and explore it. Explore why it exists within you. There was a time, I hate to admit this, but it's the truth, when I definitely had a very man-bashing kind of... I went through a bad phase with it. It was years ago when I was 25, and it was definitely triggered by a really bad relationship. But I went through this phase where I was like, men are the ones that are raping women. Men are the ones that are molesting children. Men are the ones that are murdering people in the street. You don't see women doing this. And I went through a real dark phase with it. I'm ashamed to admit it, but it's true. And I got a male therapist, and I worked through my issues. And, of course, my brother got older, and I'm extreme. And now the men in my life are probably the closest to me, whether it's Bob Harper or my little brother, who's now 23, or my business partner, who I love more than anything on the planet, who's with me every single day. But it took exposing myself, not judging people as a group, really forcing myself to look at what was going on within me. And you know what? It was fear, Janice. It was fear of being hurt. It was fear of being vulnerable. It was fear of something that was different, that I didn't understand. So I would say, if we think it's fear, what are you really afraid of? Are you afraid that if you're friends with a gay person, you'll become gay? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Or if you're afraid of, if somebody has a different religion than you, it makes you wrong and it shatters your belief system? not true. If you stand in your truth and it's your truth and it's your truth, no matter what someone else believes. But it's just a matter of respect at the end of the day. And doesn't it always come down to do unto others, right? Isn't that just the simplest lesson that we can take away from this? Mm-hmm. I would say, look around you, look within you, challenge yourself today in this way. Take a real honest look and then expose yourself to that group of people that you judge. And I think you'll find that those sweeping generalizations, those stereotypes that you presume to be true are not. And it will change you. It will change you at your core. And it will allow you to feel more connected to mankind in general, I believe. And it will also help us evolve as a society, as a culture, as a community. So that's my challenge for you today. With everything that's going on in the news and the media, that's what I want to challenge everyone to do today, is to just be truthful and honest. Maybe go to that website, beyondprejudice.com. Take one of those tests. It's enlightening, kind of disturbing. And to, you know, don't be so afraid.
No, I can see that you've grown because you have a rooster on your hat. So obviously you've embraced males. You have a rooster. Some people would call it I'm not sure where this is going to air in what household, so I will refuse from saying the other word. But you have a rooster on your hat. So that's good. I'm proud of you. Gobble, gobble. Let's take a break. See how I know how to close her up there? Tie it up with the string. That's me. Solid.
You ruined my deep segment.
No, it was deep. It was deep. Yeah. It was deep, see?
You ruined it.
No, at some point we'll introduce, we have friends in the studio today, but it really was, see, people are moved.
Son of a gun. Jake, see, cut it off. She ruined my friggin' segment.
Well, this is nice having a little cooler of water.
I've got this new assistant. He's the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's really nice. I know. It's lovely. Very
Isn't
nice.
It great?
Mm-hmm.
Cute too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get any ideas.
Oh, I wouldn't know what to do with that.
Just saying. Oh, dear. Let's go back to the show, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Janice and I are just snacking in between breaks, and Jake turned the mics on just a wee bit early. Let me get my notes in order here.
Yeah.
All right, I want to... Let's lighten the mood, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
Shall we talk fitness?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jay, a couple of things. Number one. I wanted to talk about how, you know, that stupid tip that it's like every year around New Year, they ask me for the stupid tips about how to get in shape and
what should we do, top tips,
stay motivated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one that everybody gives again and again and again. What is it?
You know it. For tips?
Like the number one tip, like, how do I get myself to the gym? What should I do? Get a
fitness pass.
Life.
Get a lot.
Trainer. Get a trainer. Get a.
Like you call it warmer.
Get a.
Warmer.
A buddy.
A fitness, buddy.
A workout buddy.
Get a buddy, right?
Get a workout buddy.
Good Lord. Get a life.
Get a life. Jake.
I thought we were filling in the blanks here. I don't know.
That was good, though.
Get a life.
Get a life.
Jake, yeah, like, get a life, you idiot.
Yeah, get a workout buddy.
Get a buddy, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, fine. I'm so bored with that tip. But I thought, what are the things we could talk about with your workout buddy? How do you pick a workout buddy?
Oh.
Am I grasping at straws here? This talk of like the benefits of a workout buddy. We know the benefits. Obviously, you're accountable, and it makes it less lonely, and all of this. But let's talk about how to pick your workout buddy. This is important. You need a workout buddy that's going to have a similar schedule to you. So let's think about where we can look for a workout buddy. Could be a buddy from the office that keeps the same kind of clock as you do. Plus, you're with each other all day long to help keep one another motivated. It could be another mom from where your kids go to school. It could be, you know, whatever.
Sibling, parent. I know a dad and daughter that come to my gym, and they work out together. And I thought it was the oddest pairing, but they come together. They're workout buddies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, it could be just, yeah, it doesn't have to be.
Sort of goes against what I was trying to say about the person who keeps the same schedule as you.
Well, they're both unemployed, so.
That's even more depressing.
Oops. Should I go? I think I
can hear.
Is that an alarm I hear?
They're both unemployed. Well, okay, here's what I like about that. They're unemployed, but they're taking control of the one area of their life that they can, which is their health, which is nothing to do with a workout, buddy. You're throwing us off here.
Okay.
So, it's about picking someone who's as serious about exercises as you are and keeps the same schedule.
Well, why couldn't that be a sibling?
Do they have the same schedule?
Some, maybe.
But the point of the tip on the tip was that you pick someone with a similar schedule. So it's convenient.
Yeah, well.
This is going right over your the head there.
I'm with you.
It just sailed right over your noggin. Okay, you go sit in the corner.
I'm going to go over the rest.
Yeah. Jay, you understand, right? Somebody with a...
Someone with a similar schedule so you could work out at the same time and motivate yourselves well.
Yeah, and it's convenient. You're not always trying to figure out, like, when you're going to be able to hook up.
And it's like, oh, you can't go today? Oh, well, I'm busy right now, but I'll be free in an hour. No, I'm not free in an hour.
Yeah, right, and then you don't go. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on to number two. You ready to move on to number two, Jim?
I'm ready.
Okay. Now, the other good thing is get yourself a workout buddy that can be a spotter for you. Because
strong enough to
because it's going to allow you to feel brave enough to try something new, to lift a heavier weight, to do a more difficult exercise. If you have a spotter there, they can help you with your pull up. They can help give you that little boost. They can help you do, you know, your hanging leg raises. They can help you do that bench press that you want to do because you feel confident that if things go south or you can't fully hoist the weight, they're there to get your back.
Yeah, not like the guy. I go to this beefcake gym, and not like the guys who are pushing, you know, they're benching, like, you know, the, like, three plates, 45 plates on each, and they ask the prettiest girl in the gym to spot them. And
no,
you
they
know,
don't.
Yes, and you know damn well that they're looking at upside down boobs. And if it did go south on them, she's going to be flipped around the room. Like, can you imagine her trying to? I mean, not that she's not strong, but come on. I mean, please. You know, you're like, oh, hey, would you want to spot me?
Stop
like,
it.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, they're posers. There's posers in every gym. But I do. But yeah, if I will go further. I will push it further if I know someone is safely going to grab that bar.
Upside down boobs.
You know, the boob. They look up and the boobs, it's the upside down. Oh, it's just. If only I was in charge of things.
Okay. Moving on. All right. Now, another thing is find a workout buddy that you can travel with, like somebody who, if you travel a lot, somebody that either travels with you. So if you're traveling a lot for work, get a workout buddy that's going with you. Also falls under sort of the scheduling type of thing. But like somebody who on the road can work out outdoors with you. Who can go skiing with you? Who can do whatever you're doing outdoors? So if you're traveling, like I said skiing because like if you're in a, this one's a stretch, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
that,
well,
that
it's kind of like, it's sort of like, all right, so this is sort of like a workout buddy for the road. And it's like, you could get a little box of, there's something called a Fit Deck, or I have something called Hot Bod in a box. And I know these two workout buddies and they take it with them when they travel. So I guess I sort of tried to connect the two things, but it doesn't really make
any. I'm not buying this.
No, no. But all right. But the real tip, so it's not really about workout buddies, but it's about getting a little deck that you travel with and you get to like flip each card and each card has a new exercise on it for you to try to keep it sort of fresh. So it's like that thing sort of becomes your workout buddy.
No, that's that.
Yeah, I tried to bridge that into the Fit Deck thing with the buddy thing.
Oh, hey, you want to come to Kalamazoo with me so we can work out together? Come on, it'll be fun. Oh, my God. And you thought working out with your sister was hard. My God. Hey, we're going to Wichita. Come on. Come on, everybody. Where's my workout buddies? Oh, my God. Don't give me grief, Sister Sue. Okay, what's the next one? Because that one was stellar. That one rocked my world.
I don't want to talk about these anymore.
Okay.
They're stupid.
No, they're not stupid.
They're
but,
stupid.
No, getting a workout buddy's good. But that last one was bad.
The last one was stupid. Yeah. All right. Well, another thing. Get a workout. Here was my next elaboration on this. Get a workout buddy that comes from a different fitness background than you. So, for example, I don't love to work out with Bob because he's a crazy person. But we both like to do very different things.
Yeah.
So, for Bob, like, he always wants me now to go to a CrossFit class. I'd rather be dead than go to a CrossFit class, only because, frankly, I don't want to get big. I think a CrossFit class would make me big, but it's good to do once in a while, and he's always introducing me to new fitness things, and he took me to a class called, like, Yoga Hop once that was super fun that I loved, and now CrossFit is his thing, but I'll take him to a particular yoga class that I like, or I'll take him to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu class, like a capoeira class, and it's really great because it gets us out of our comfort zone, it forces us to try new things, and it changes up your workout regimen so you're getting the best results. Your body is training in a different way. So all around on a very holistic level, it's important to mix things up for your physique, for your headspace. And it just opens up, you know, new possibilities. You never know what you're going to love until you... Oh, Bob's surfing now, by the way. He's decided he's a surfer all of a sudden. So... Which, by the way, I've been trying to get him to take surfing lessons for I can't tell you how long, and now suddenly he's hooked. But so find a friend that's a little more diverse, that has a different background than you, that likes to do different things, a workout buddy, so you can share with each other new modalities and train in different ways that keep it fresh and keep it interesting. And last, find a buddy that's serious about fitness. I was helping somebody out the other day. She's had I now call her trainer, her workout buddy. She's had a trainer for like 20 years, and they talk about politics. If you have a friend and you're going to the gym and you guys are shooting the breeze the entire time about who they're dating, or it just becomes a chat session about politics or romance or work, go for a drink. Don't go to the gym. Get a workout buddy that is serious about changing their physique. Otherwise, they're going to have a negative influence on you. And that we don't want. We don't want the person that's ready to leave early, the person that wants to chat the entire time. We want somebody who's serious about working out. I think there were at least four good, get a good workout buddy tips in there.
Oh, no. Yeah. I think would four say four out of five. Four out of the five. That one there, though, about trying to find someone to go to Newfoundland with you was a little stretched thin. That one had to go. Now, are you finished now? Are you done with your buddy?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you know what we should do? We should let's take some calls now.
Fine.
Yeah. Maybe you'll find a new friend that you can take. Oh, God, that was the worst. Oh, hey, Sandra. I gotta go. You know what? I think I gotta go on a road trip to Tijuana. And I'd love to work out when we get there. Do you want to come? How about it, Sandy? Come on, San. Fun road trip party. Oh, my God.
I can't be perfect all the time.
Yeah, I know.
I can't be perfect all the time.
No, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. All right, we'll be right back. Do you think about me now and then? Yeah. Do you think about me now and then? Because I'm coming home.
Girl, when I was 3 years old, and what I loved most, she had so much soul. She said, excuse me, little homie, I know you don't know me, but my name is Wendy and I like to blow trees. And
okay, Rachel is waiting to talk to you.
Awesome. Hey, Rachel, what's going on?
Hi, Billion.
Hi, buddy.
I'm really excited to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you. We're excited to talk to you.
My question is, I'm trying to lose weight.
Okay.
I'm going to the gym about four times a week. And I find that every time I go to the gym, I'm there for about an hour. And by the time I leave, I am just starving. Like, I'm ready to eat anything that I see, which is bad because my gym is right above a grocery store.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And instead of going to the healthy section, I often just grab whatever I see first to tide me over until I get home.
Okay.
And sometimes I'm hungry to the point of, like, a little bit shaky.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, what can I do to avoid that? What are the good things I can eat to counteract that?
All right. This is easy. First question. If you're shaky, it means your blood sugar's low. How many hours has it been before you've eaten? So, for example, like, did you eat at noon, go to the gym at 3, and now it's 4 o'clock?
Usually I have a snack maybe around 3, and I don't get to the gym until about 5.
Okay. A snack, you're saying?
Yeah. Usually it'll be like a yogurt or a piece of fruit or a cheese and cracker or something like
that.
So
like 80 to 100 calories.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have like 80 to 100 calories, and then 2 hours later you're hitting the gym. And then right. 3 hours now have easily gone by since you had 100 calories and you've worked out.
Right.
Okay. So here's your problem. Your blood sugar is way too low. So,
okay.
I mean, you want to be eating every 4 hours after a meal, but that,
okay.
So you're going 3 hours, but off of a snack. So,
right.
You know, I'm talking about a meal, which is, three to 400 calories, not 80 to 100 calories.
Okay.
So what I would do is, when are you having lunch?
Usually around 12:30.
Okay. So you have lunch at 12:30, and then you're having your snack at 3, and you're working out at 5.
Right.
All right. Try to push your lunch to 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay? Push your snack to about 4, 4 o'clock, 4:15, and
okay.
Go bigger with your snack. Or 4 o'clock. Let's say 4 o'clock. Go with 200 calories for your snack.
Okay.
Then when you hit the gym at 5... I want you to, you know, drink your water, hydrate, mm-hmm. so that you're keeping a little something going in your system. And that should help stabilize that blood sugar a little bit. And when you have that snack at 4 o'clock, up those calories, but make sure that there's a little bit of protein and
okay.
a little bit of fat in there. Because you're talking about yogurt. I'm going to presume that it's probably a fat-free yogurt.
Yeah, usually like
okay.
one of the, you know, 50-calorie ones.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I'm awful for that.
Well, that's bad. Get rid of that. That's all poison. So, of course, those artificial sugars are going to make you even hungrier.
Okay.
So dump that. If you're going to do that, get a low-fat Greek yogurt.
Okay.
And then have it with, you know, then you can have it with like a piece of fruit. But get some fat and have a hard-boiled egg. And a piece
okay.
of fruit. So you've got a little bit of protein and a little bit of fat because that's going to stay in your system longer.
Okay.
A piece of fruit, a 50-calorie yogurt is going to, like, tissue paper.
Yeah,
so
okay.
what your body thinks is, for the most part, it hasn't really eaten since 12:30. It's now
right.
6 o'clock, and you've worked out. So,
right.
yeah, you're like, holy cow. And then you're overly hungry. So if we can pace out these meals a little bit better, restructure the timing of your meals and the macronutrients, so we get more protein, more fat, closer to the workout time, push lunch down a little bit. That'll mm-hmm. help you stabilize that blood sugar. In general, as well, when you're losing weight, mm-hmm. it's not uncommon for your body to go, holy cow, I'm losing weight. I got to eat more because it's worried that it's going to be losing too much weight too quickly. So it'll release a hormone called ghrelin. What you want to do when that happens, make sure that you're getting your sleep because that helps to release another hormone called leptin, which
okay.
helps to build satiety, make you feel more full, keep the ghrelin levels down. You want to make sure that you're getting a lot of fiber in your diet because when your stomach is expanded or stretched, it signals the body to release leptin, which is that feeling of fullness. So a lot
okay.
of water and a lot of fiber. And you can get a fiber substitute, a fiber supplement. Sorry,
okay.
not substitute, supplement. Excuse me. I don't want you to get that you know, like the Metamucil with the orange flavor that's got like the Splenda
right.
and the artificial color. Like if you get straight Metamucil with no artificial nothing, or you could just get psyllium husks. They're cheap and they're
okay.
gross tasting, but they work. You got to drink a lot of water with it or it can actually block you up. So you want to make sure you're drinking a lot of fluid. But the best thing if you could afford it would be to get a fiber that has soluble and insoluble fiber. It's the best of both worlds. Might cost a little bit more, but it's all natural. It's the best thing for you and it's going to help you feel a little bit more full, release more leptin. So sleep, fiber, restructure when you're consuming the foods. Make sure you're getting more fat and protein to keep your body, your blood sugar stable for a longer period of time, and that should do the trick.
Okay. How much fiber and how much water would you say in a day?
You want to drink as much water so that your urine looks like lemonade.
And okay.
Not apple juice. Because I could give you a million different answers. The truth of the matter is
yeah.
you're going to know if your body is hydrated and everything comes into play here. How your body processes fluids, how much sodium you're drinking, how much potassium you're taking in, how often you're working out, what's the climate around you. So the
right.
the one gauge is drink until your urine looks like water. Or, sorry, your urine looks like lemonade. Shut up, Janice.
Okay.
Shut up, Janice. Looks like lemonade, not apple juice. And with fiber, just use one serving, and it'll, you know, each one is different, but it'll usually say like one scoop in water, and that'll be plenty. One little supplement a day will do the trick.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm a huge fan. I really appreciate everything you do.
Oh, thank you, buddy. It's my pleasure, and thank you so much for calling.
No problem. Have a great day.
Bye, you too.
Rachel. Bye, Rachel.
You learned something, Janice?
I did. Sorry. I'm just glad you have this plethora of different types of beverages that you...
Oh, yeah. A wealth of information.
I know. You really are. Have you got enough information in you for another call?
Are you kidding? I'm a master at this.
Yeah,
hit me. Hey, Jillian,
we got Nicole waiting to talk to you.
I'm ready. Nicole, what's going on?
I just had a quick question. I have been stuck in the middle of an obese family, and I have somehow managed to keep myself from becoming like that.
Okay.
But sometimes it gets to the point where maybe I could be obsessive about it by trying so hard not to become like that.
Right. I hear you. Okay.
And I have a specific family member, my grandmother, who is not the nicest woman in the world.
Is that putting it lightly?
That's putting it very lightly. Like, my mother, she's actually, she's 5'1", and she's about 260, so she's obese herself.
Okay.
And my grandmother will just blatantly come out and tell her, you know, you're fat, you need to change yourself, but she never actually tries to help her.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And she's made comments to me as well.
Like what?
And she said that, you know, I could stand to lose a few, that
Ooh.
If I don't change my ways, I might end up like my mother, that type of thing.
Wow. Okay. So hold on a second. I just want to go, clarify what we're talking about here. You're worried that you're obsessing about your weight, or you're worried you're going to be fat, or what exactly, narrow this down. Laser, focus me like a laser beam. Tell me exactly what you're worried about.
I'm worried because I'm surrounded by, and I'm surrounded by the negativity that it might just kind of like consume me, type of thing.
And in what way, though? What would happen if it consumed you? You're afraid that what will happen?
I would probably emotionally eat like I have in the past.
Oh, okay. So are you afraid that they will overwhelm, or the situation will overwhelm you and depress you, so you'll turn to food?
Yes.
Okay. And the situation makes you feel, other than afraid that you'll do that, how?
I don't know.
Well, you're afraid that it's going to drive you to food. So what about it is going to drive you to food?
The fact that no matter what I do is ever good enough, and so food won't let me down, so
uh-huh.
I kind of turn to it.
Okay. So, ever good enough for who? Your grandmother?
Yeah, I mean, I could do exactly what she tells me to do, and it's still wrong.
Of course. Of course it is. Tell me why.
Because that's just her.
There you go. You have the answer. You already know the answer. That's just her. So what does that mean? What does that say about her?
That she has to have some sort of insecurities about her own self to be attacking me and my mother.
Yes. That's right. So when she says these things, who is she really talking to, and who is she really talking about?
Herself.
Right. So if you know that, if you know that what isn't good enough is her feeling about herself, that her loathing is about herself, it's a projection of her own self-loathing and her own insecurities, then you will know that, of course, nothing you do is going to be good enough for her, because she's miserable and nothing you do will make her unmiserable. She's the only one that could ever do that for herself. And the likelihood of that happening, honey, is slim to none, because she's not evolved enough or aware enough, or quite honestly, I mean, She's completely unaware and unevolved and doesn't have the tools and no one's ever helped her and she doesn't have the desire or the inclination. And for her to open up and realize that these feelings are really about herself and then see how she's victimized her family, it would probably crush her. So she's going to go back in denial about that and continue to abuse you. Okay. But the way that you can protect against that is by setting boundaries with her. Don't listen to her. Don't allow her to speak to you that way. When she starts to, you avoid her. You walk away from her. You don't subject yourself to her criticism. So if you know that you're going to do something and she's going to criticize it, don't share it with her. Don't bring home somebody that you like for her to attack them or to say that they don't really like you or whatever it might be. Don't tell her about a project you're working on so she could say it's not good enough. Mm. Don't open yourself up. So boundaries come first. Always boundaries. Set up a protective barrier. That way, because willpower and self-esteem, you know, it's like a muscle. Like, we can be worn down. So let me give you, this is not the same example, but I'll try to give you an example. Okay. Sometimes people who are in the public eye, they read blogs about themselves. And you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how many of them actually do that. And how many of them it actually affects. And the truth of the matter is, even though you read it and you know, like I read one, someone sent me one recently, and it was like Jillian Michaels, what was it? It was something about being a mother. It was on some like TMZ, something like that. And it was like, she shouldn't be a mother or something. And I know that this is a person that, you know, they've got their own fair share of issues. It has nothing to do with me. But nevertheless, I'm sure if I read enough of that stuff, you know, they were like, how dare she adopt a black child? All kinds of nasty crap like that. Yeah, but that's out there, right? Yeah. Okay, but if I sat there and I read it all the time, I'm sure over a period of time, it would definitely start to, it would start to play on my mind. I saw Dane Cook once and it cracked me up. He did a whole segment on Googling himself. And he's like, don't ever do that. He's like, by the time I was done reading that, I thought I was the most worthless piece of crap on the planet. So my point is this. Even when we have strong self-esteem, if we continuously subject ourselves to these kinds of abuses, it can really start to play on your mind. So the first thing you want to do is set up boundaries. Don't engage in these conversations. Don't share things with her that you know she's going to attack. Protect yourself. Now, when she does come at you or when she does have something to say, obviously don't engage. Remove yourself immediately, what have you. But remind yourself of what you already know. This is a woman that's fundamentally broken and unhappy. For whatever reasons and whatever shortcomings and whatever issues her mother put onto her when she was a kid, this is about her and not about you. So don't internalize her issues. They're hers. And you sit in your strength and you know that you are good enough, you are happy enough, you are healthy enough, and you're going to break this chain because your mother wasn't strong enough to do it, which is so, so sad because obviously it's affected her.
It is. I mean, I've tried to help my mother in any way I can possibly do, but, I mean, when you're told that, you know, you're fat and you're overweight and that, you know, your life sucks for so many years, I mean, it just kind of sinks in.
It sure does. The best thing you can do for your mom is to love her unconditionally. It doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. It just means you love her. You can offer your help in a supportive way that makes you feel good, that's safe for you, and if you choose to. But really, truthfully, lead by example and let her know that it's possible. Be the positive example in her life. And honey, you know, sometimes they take the bait and sometimes they don't. You know, yeah. I was talking with my business partner the other day and he called me and he's like, can I talk to you? And I was, yeah, I'm like, oh crap, you know, because I get those calls. I'm like, oh God, it's bad news. Okay, I'm bracing myself. And he's like, you know, told me a story about something his mom had done that had disappointed him and hurt him. By the way, I've had this conversation with him, I want to say 10 times at least. And he still can't get over the fact he doesn't understand how she can't be different, how she can't change. And he takes it personally. And I finally was like, babe, listen to me. She's never changing. She's not capable of changing. So what you've got to do is just accept it and just grieve it. You keep fighting with it. You keep wrestling with it. You keep trying to reason with it. It's like a stage of grief. He goes in and out of denial and bargaining. Do you know what I mean? Like trying to make her different. Denial that she's not different. I'm like, sweetie, because he wants to avoid the grieving because it's like a death. That she can't change. He can't be the woman that he needs. And unfortunately, you may experience that with your mother. But if you can protect yourself, if you can insulate and you can be that change that you want to see in them, and we've talked about this on the show, be the change you want to see in the world, be that change. Be the strong one. Don't take in this negativity. Don't internalize those issues. Have sympathy. Have sympathy for them because they weren't strong enough to overcome it. And it's not because they're malicious, honey. It's because they're injured and wounded and weren't evolved enough or supported enough to come through it positively.
Hurt people, yeah. Hurt people.
Oh, good one, Janice.
I mean, she's the first one to tell my mother that she needs to go to therapy because she overeats. But yet when my mother tries to get them to go to like family therapy to like try to fix the old problems that are just festering, she won't go.
No. And stop. That's a great one. Hurt people, hurt people. Oof, God, that's good. So true. Yeah, and stop analyzing it. Just do what I told you. Stop trying to change okay. them and focus on you because that's the only place that you're going to make a difference. And you
okay,
can,
one,
yeah.
I'll say one other thing. I have put myself on a very strict 1,200 calorie diet. Now, how do I maintain that without becoming, what's the word I'm looking for, over-obsessive over it? Like, I have your calorie counter book, and what I do is that I look it up before I actually eat it, so I
That's
don't
great.
Eat it and then look it up and say, oh, crap.
That's wonderful. Why is that bad?
But how do I maintain it?
Well, you only No, honey, you only maintain it while you're losing weight. Then once you've lost the weight, then you can up your calories to a place where, okay, I burned 1,600, 1,800, 2,000 calories today, then I can eat 1,600, 1,800, 2,000 calories today. And you should always know that information. So okay. I never want you to not know that information. I always want you to know it. And you'll find that you don't have to look it up every time because you're just going to know it. I just know an egg is 80 calories. I just know that a piece of Ezekiel bread is 80 calories. I just know that a tablespoon of olive oil is 120 calories because I know now. And I add that up every single day. I go, okay, where am I at? Okay, how much do I have for dinner? Okay, awesome. And I find a balance. It's not hard. And it's something that you have to do to, like, weight manage. And that's
okay.
not obsessive.
Yeah, I probably have to lose maybe, like, 10 pounds. So I'm not too bad.
You're not bad at all. You're not bad at all. That might even be a little low for 10 pounds. Don't create a deficit over 500 calories a day when you have 10 pounds to lose.
Okay.
Okay, Peanut.
Do you think 10 pounds is too excessive? Because I'm 5'1 and I weigh 126.
No. I'm 5'3 and I'm 117. So no, if you want to be that weight, that's okay. But you're also not overweight either. That's a matter of aesthetics and preference. So if you wanted to be 5'1 and you wanted to be 116 pounds, you wouldn't be unhealthy. But you're also okay. not unhealthy at 126. You just need to acknowledge that you've decided you want to wear skinny jeans. Do you follow me?
I would love to wear skinny
but
jeans.
My point is that aesthetically, by the way, there are a lot of people in the world that will tell you they think you're hotter at 126. This is a matter of preference. Like when you look
that
at
that would be my husband.
Well, there you go. Men actually do. Like there was a. It's so funny. I put a picture up on my website or on my Facebook of a girl who did my Body Revolution program, right? And she lost like 40 pounds and 50 inches. And when she was done, she went from like a size 12 to a size 2 or something like that. And all these men on my site are like, I liked her better before. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. It just goes to show you. You know what I mean? So this is a matter of aesthetics. So if you want to be 116, that's totally fine. But there, just so you know, there are a lot of people that probably think you're super hot at 126. But
okay.
that's it's okay either way.
Okay.
All right, kiddo.
Thank you very much.
All right, sweetheart. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Hurt people, hurt people. Yeah. That sucks, doesn't it? But I try to remind myself of that because it helps me from thinking that they're malicious. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. And you know, and we've talked about this, that well, we've talked about it, you know, hate the act, not the person. But
yeah.
It's a hurt person can be, man.
Jesus.
You just bang your head and go, oh, my God, how can you do those kinds of things? But it's just, it's learned. It's, oh, my God.
Hurt people, hurt people. Oh, we got to work on that.
Yeah.
Got to help people not do that. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to my mom about, what makes somebody become Hitler? And what makes a person who had the same traumatic upbringing become Mother Teresa? You know, you could take two people both from a really hard upbringing, right? Like Oprah had a very hard upbringing. Mm-hmm. She became Oprah. Saddam Hussein had a very hard upbringing. He became Saddam Hussein. You know, Oprah had, she was beaten. She was molested. You know, he was beaten. He was, you know, both were all these things. And my mom said, there's a theory called the good enough other. And if somebody's theoretically, if somebody has one person that shows them love, one person that shows them they have value, one person that believes in them, it can make all the difference. It can transcend that hurt and help them use that hurt so that a hurt person has empathy, compassion, wisdom that can help touch, change, save others. Whereas it can go the other way and a hurt person can hurt a person. Like, but if it's just that one person, and Oprah had her Vernon, who I don't know if he was her dad or her I don't know the story behind that, but her, I read her biography. It was very interesting. And this man who I guess is her father, or might've been her father, I don't know, came in and like, was like, and like restructured everything and made her focus on school. And she, you know, turned everything in her life around. And I don't know her. I would obviously, but I would presume that that may have been that good enough other for her at that time in her life. But it's very, very interesting to see that just one person believing in you, just one person loving you or showing you that you have value can turn, you know, can make all the difference in the world. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind when you have the ability to reach out and touch somebody and make all the difference.
Yeah. For sure.
Huh, Janice?
I know it, truly, truly. And it can be the simplest thing, too. It doesn't have to be this huge, you know, grandiose act. It can be the simplest thing as, I don't know.
You know? I know what you mean. Even a smile, a gesture, a sentiment, or helping somebody change their, I don't know, whatever. But just, yeah, showing them. One of my friends who loves, God, I keep going with anecdotes. I swear to God, I'm going to stop. But she loves gardening, and she told me this story of a Sunday school teacher who, like, saw that she had a passion for it, had a garden, and ended up gardening with her like every Sunday. And now, you know, it's her passion, it's her thing. And it's like this one teacher that just took the time to spend with this kid and show her that she was worth spending time. And
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway, should we go?
Oh, we should go. I've got a little sweaty in here.
I know, man. Is the thermostat thing broken?
Oh, look at it. It's 79. Here, I thought I was having a hot flash.
Thought we were going through the change, huh?
I thought I was going through the change.
Jake, are you going through the change? Jake's got menopause. We got to leave the show.
We got to leave. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.